Good morning, everyone. So for pre-service today, we've chosen a song which was new to some of us, not all of us, but some of us, and it's based on the theme of today's service, which is looking at the personal transformation that takes place when we allow the Spirit to move within us.
Good morning, and welcome to worship at High Street. A very warm welcome if you're with us for the first time, and we hope you'll stay and enjoy refreshments and fellowship in the coffee bar after the service. Our service this morning is being led by our own minister, Reverend Jason Cook, and the reader is Mary Ann Beveridge. If you do not receive the fortnightly newsletter, which has been circulated via email this week, There are a few paper copies at the back of the church for anyone who'd like one. There are no additional notices to add today. As usual, prayer will be available to everyone under the stained glass window at the end of the service. Let us pray before the service begins. Living God, you reveal yourself in Jesus and call us to a life of faith. Trusting in his words, his death and resurrection, Lord God, we wrestle with the mystery that is at the heart of our faith as we gather here to worship you. We come with our own needs, hopes, gifts, and graces. What is true of us is true of all who meet here. Take what has been prepared for this act of praise. Lord, may it bring you praise and glory. And we pray that you will speak to us all through what we might share together. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are we well this morning? It's good to be here. It feels a while since I've been here. I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks. It's really good to be back here for our service, our communion service as well. As we look at, I think Laura just said, we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us this morning, which is a really important theme, and I'll explain that a bit more later, leading on to next week, which I believe is Pentecost. I hope it's Pentecost, because that's what we're working towards in this place. So it's really, really, really good to be here this morning. I thought, do you think worship should be fun? I think sometimes worship should be fun. I thought we'd start with a song this morning before we go on to sing our opening praise song. And it tends to be a favourite in the Cook household. It's Aria's favourite, that's why. And whenever she puts on a show, this song seems to get sung. And I thought we'd start with that this morning. And it's a song that I think most of you will know well. It's a song that I really like. And it goes like this. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Amen. So we know that one. About half of us, I reckon. Let's sing that through together once more, so we've got it into our heads, and then I'm going to split you up a little bit. So sing with me. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Okay, you stay up at the end, I go down. I'll try and remember to stay up at the end with your church this morning as well. Right, so I'm going to split us into halves. So this side of the church, which side do I think? This side of the church, you're going to sing the hallelujahs. Okay, so hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That means that this side of the church, you're singing the praise ye the Lord's. It's quite simple, isn't it? So let's make it a bit more interesting. If you're singing and you're physically able, I want you to stand. And then when you stop singing, you sit down again. Does that make sense? So if you're singing, you stand. And then when you stop singing, you bob back down again. And then when you're singing again, you're back up onto your feet. I said if you're physically able, and for health and safety, if there's enough room with a row in front of you as well. If you're not physically able and you're physically able to do this, lift your hands in the air when you're singing. Does that, yeah? So if you like, I'd quite like to join in, but I just can't physically. Well, just do something with your body. Raise your hands in the air or something like that. Aria's ready. It's her favourite song. I told her we're going to sing this morning. So should we split you two as well? Yeah, if you come this side, and you, there we go, perfect. So we'll start over here, and we'll do it once, see how that goes, and then we'll nail it on the second time through. Okay, are we ready this side? Are you ready to stand up? Okay, Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. That was pretty good, apart from I was the one who got it wrong with the switch. Right, let's do it one more through, and then I know that you're properly warmed up to worship the Lord our God this morning. I am very impressed. Let's last time through then. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Oh, give yourself a round of applause, High Street Methodist Church, Whitney. Because praising God probably should be a little bit fun at times, which brings us on to our next praise song. We had this the last time I was here, and I was blown away by the amount of dancing. I went away from here buzzing, not at your response to my sermon, but I went away buzzing with how you all engaged with this song. It was fabulous, and I thought we've got to have it again. But it's called Praise, and it's got a beat to it. And you can't sing this song without dancing. So the Bible tells us to worship God with our whole body. So I'm going to let you interpret that this morning, how you receive that scripture. But I want to see dancing in the aisles this morning, church. Are we up for that? I've just warmed you up for this song is what I've done this morning. So we're gonna praise God. We're gonna praise our God in heaven this morning. God who created all things, the God who loves us, the God who came to save us, and the God, the Holy Spirit, who is with us here right now and in all times. So church, let us praise God together.
Valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm strong, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm outnumbered, praise when I'm surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I'm feeling it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I'm alone. You're still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul.
Rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. How could I keep it inside? Oh, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Oh, I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'll give you a C-plus this time, church. But it's good to praise God this morning. Shall we praise him in prayer right now? Loving God, you deserve our praise. You deserve our full praise. For the way that you are towards us. For the way that you care for us, the fact that you chose to love us when you're not obliged to, the fact that you saved us when you have no duty to, the fact that you're here with us now, even when that means that you are amongst our transgressions too. Lord, we praise you this morning for who you are, and for how you are towards us. May we praise you with our whole lives, every minute, every hour, every day, because that is our worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are your church, we are your people. We come here together to be lifted up, to be discipled, so that we can go into your world and spread your good news and the values of your great kingdom. Holy Spirit, as we worship you today, come and have your full way with us so that we leave here transformed by your presence within us. We pray too for Junior Church, though they're all away this morning. We pray for them wherever they are, that they will know that you're with them there too. That as you lift their souls to praise you through however their day looks, look after them today, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna have our scripture reading today, which was just a short excerpt really from Galatians chapter 5. Which Marianne's going to come read from us, and she's going to talk to us about the fruits of the Spirit. We might cover some more of the chapter a little bit later as well, but you get the good bit to bring to us this morning.
So, as Jason's just said, it's from Galatians chapter 5, and it's verses 22 to 26, and this section is headed Life by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you very much. So we'll look at more of that passage in a little bit after we've sung again. But now I'm confident that most people are here who are going to come this morning. I think it's always good to explain communion for visitors while you're with us in the church. Our communion is an open table, meaning that as long as you want to know Jesus, you are so welcome to come and share in communion for us. I'm going to look at Roy now and just confirm that the bread that we're still using is gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free. Is that right, Roy? Thank you very much. That's really important. It means everybody can come. There's no restrictions. And the wine, though, I'll talk about wine when we come to it. It's grape juice. So it's from the vine still. But we use grape juice here, meaning it's non-alcoholic, meaning that children and other people who may not partake in alcohol can also come to the table. That's really precious for us. You're also welcome not to take communion. If you don't want to take communion, that's absolutely fine. You can remain in your seat. You can come up for a blessing. If you want to do that, you just keep your hands behind your back, and then we'll know that just to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And at the same time, as communion goes on, if there's something in your life that you want to receive prayer for, and that can have nothing to do with what we speak about this morning, but just anything in your life. Maybe you've got a headache this morning and you want prayer for it. Maybe you want a good week. You want a blessing for it. There's prayer teams around, and they'll be in blue lanyards, and they will just cherish the opportunity to pray with you and pray for you this morning. So communion's open to all here. We make sure the elements work for that purpose as well. And the words come up on the screen. And if you do come forward and you've not taken communion before, and somebody gives you the bread and the grape juice, they'll say some words, and you simply say amen, and you can consume, you can take the element when it's passed to you. So I also think that's just helpful to refresh and remind each other, and especially for any visitors as well. Shall we sing together again in worship to our God this morning? We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit inside of us this morning. So we're going to sing a song that just reflects that now as we sing Spirit of God together. Stand with me as you're able as we worship our God in song.
Spirit of God, unseen as a word, gentle and
Please be seated, and let us pray. Loving God, as we come to do what we just sung about, open your word, to receive your truth. Lord, we pray that our spirits do exactly that, that our hearts are open to receive your spirit and your truth in us today. Lord, just remind us as we go through that you love us and you will always love us, no matter who or what we do. Amen. So yes, so for the next 2 weeks, I'm here on Lucky Church, and this week we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, what God does as we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, and then next week for Pentecost, we're going to look at the outpouring of mission, really, as the Holy Spirit goes through us and into the world, and how God empowers us and equips us, not just to make our faith a personal thing, but to make our faith something that brings light to the world. So that's what we'll be looking at Pentecost. But I thought it was probably really important that we look at the work of the Holy Spirit within us first. And we're choosing Galatians chapter 5 for this. Galatians is a bit of a strange book, really, and I'll come on to explain some of that. But this Galatians chapter 5 is quite a well-known passage that received in it, as Maryam read for us, the fruits of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit brings into our lives as we come to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into us. That's what the Bible teaches us, if you've not heard that before, that if you come to know Jesus, if you come to love Jesus, God the Holy Spirit then comes and dwells within us and will always be with us, no matter what. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." That seems quite significant, doesn't it, if it's telling us why Christ has set us free. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. It's almost like it emphasizes it by saying it twice. "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And it seems to me that a really important thing to look at in that verse is, if Christ has come to set us free, and if it is for freedom that Christ has come, what is freedom? What does freedom look like as defined by God? I think it is simply this biblically. Freedom is the removal of any burden or anything that hinders or entangles you so that you're not truly free. The word we often talk about in church, isn't it, is sin, is our failings, our wrongdoings. These burden us, they shackle us, they chain us down, and God doesn't want that for us. So God comes and he breaks those chains, and he wants us to experience freedom as God knows that we can be free. I don't think we fully realize that the glory, the beauty of what this true freedom is yet. But God's desperate desire for you, church, is that you be free. Isn't that a lovely thing? You want freedom, not just in your life, but at the very core of who you are. Because actually being free means to be fully you. If you want to be fully you, then the Holy Spirit is the answer. I was struggling yesterday as I was writing this sermon, because hey, we're going to have to go into some serious stuff at some point, because we don't want to just hear messages that make us feel good. We want a true Christianity. Does that make sense? It's really nice to have a good feel-good message, but sometimes we need to deal with serious stuff as well to make sure that we really are on the right path. And I was struggling with this yesterday, thinking, Lord, how can I bring some light to this as well? And then a talk that I heard a few weeks ago came into my head, and I think it's really helpful. myself and Jane and Mary, we went to the Alpha Leadership Conference at the Royal Albert Hall. And there was a professor teaching there. He's a Catholic. He's a professor at Harvard University, Professor Arthur Brooks. And his specialism is he teaches on the science. He's a scientist. He teaches on the science of happiness. And it's quite interesting to listen to what he says. By the way, he's the thing that I came with, not part of my sermon, but maybe it's helpful for us to be happy, church, is he says, the secret to happiness is not to want more. The secret to happiness is to be happy with less. If you want to be happy, don't try and gather things to yourself. You'll never be happy. He said, if people always think happiness is owning a boat. He says the happiest day for a boat owner is the day they sell it because it's so much hassle. If you want to be happy in life, learn to be content with less. That's the secret in the science of happiness. And I think there's something quite biblical about that, really, and not following the ways of the world. But he gave this talk, and he said he was in China, and he was over there, and he wanted to go to this really famous art gallery, but he only had an hour or two, so he hired a guide and said, look, I've only got a short amount of time. I want you to pick 10 pieces of art in this gallery, just 10, that's all I've got time for, and take me to them and explain them to me. And they came to this piece of artwork, which was a beautiful carving out of some block of jade. And the art guide said to him, I want to ask you something, because you're from the West, you're American, you're from the West. If I asked you to describe the beginning of a beautiful piece of art, what do you see? And the Professor Arthur Brooks said, well, that's simple. I see an easel with a blank canvas on it. And the guy said, yes, I know you do, because you're Western. But in the East, I picture a block of jade, and the art is inside of it. And we get to the art by removing things until the true beauty of what is within is revealed. In the West, our philosophy, not just of art, but it can, if we're not careful of life, is that we start with a blank canvas and then we start putting paint onto it. But we don't know when to stop. So we keep trying to add. We keep trying to add more things. And we keep dipping our brush in the paint. And we keep painting and painting and painting. And at one point, there might have been something beautiful there, but we don't know how to stop. So we keep going and going and going until we've just got a blodge of brown on the canvas. But I love that philosophy in the East, that when you get that block of jade, the true beauty is already there. It just requires the excess to be removed for it to be revealed. And I think that's how God works in us. God looks at us and says, I can see your true inner beauty, but there's just some things that I need to remove. If you think about it, of sin in the Bible, even from the very start, that serpent tries to add. You know, I know you've got knowledge of good, but you don't have knowledge of evil. Why don't you go and eat from the tree of knowledge of evil, and then you'll gain knowledge? You know, I know God said that, you don't have these powers, but what if you try and become godlike? What if you add to who you are? That's actually the start of all sin. He's trying to add. He's trying to want more, trying to grab more, try and take what is on offer. But God's like, no. You don't realize the true beauty that you are within. If you want, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to chip away at you. I want to reveal to you who you truly are. You don't even see it yet, but God sees it in you. And God just wants to gently chip away at you. Remove that doesn't actually need to be there. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's take a little bit more seriously. Galatians chapter 5 talks about two ways of living your life. We've heard the beautiful fruits of the Spirit, and it's a glorious passage. It says that when we walk with the Spirit, when we live with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, that's sometimes translated as kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Church, who wants that in your life? Church, who wants that in your life? Yeah, we all want those things in our life, don't we? But Galatians chapter 5 also deals with the way that it can go if we don't live by the Spirit. It says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Church, if I had a pound for every time I've had to say to you, can you stop having orgies, please? I'd be a rich man. The thing is, what Satan doesn't do is present you with a load of beautiful naked people and say, go and have an orgy with them. Hopefully you'd still say no, church. But what Satan does, because Satan's far more clever than that, you might be out one day and you might spot someone who's really attractive and Satan just says, let your eyes linger. Let your eyes linger. Why don't you appreciate their form? You know, God made it anyway, didn't he? So surely it's the right thing to do just to appreciate how beautiful God has made this person. So your eyes linger, and then further down the line, Satan's like, there's more attractive people on the internet. And porn is really easy to access these days. Who are you hurting by going and having a look? That's how Satan works. That's how Satan works in our lives and leads us to live a life that is led by the flesh. A key verse in Galatians 5 is 5:9, and it says, a little yeast works through a whole batch of dough. Temptation is such a powerful thing, isn't it? Let's be honest, temptation is a real powerful thing. And if we don't stop it at the point that it's just a tiny bit of yeast in our lives, it will work out until it's in the whole batch of the dough. And then we'll be like, my word, why didn't I just deal with this when it was a tiny bit of yeast? Because that was far easier and far less painful. If we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to work in us, we don't want those shiny Christian messages that ignore what happens if we don't live by the Spirit, because we want to deal with the reality of the world and the reality of our life, and that sometimes means that we need to engage with the more difficult parts of Scriptures as well. There's a really key phrase that comes after envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It says, I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we live by the flesh, if we allow ourselves to live in that way, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the churches in the area of Galatia, is saying, if you live in unrepentantly and you just allow yourself to keep going in any of these ways, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's a phrase that Paul uses elsewhere in Scripture as well, where he lists particular sins. He does so in 1 Corinthians 6. He uses that same phrase. If you live your life like this, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That inherit the kingdom of God is debated, really, what it means. For the most common translation or the most common interpretation of what that means is it means that if you live your life unrepentantly living like this, then you are not saved. Doesn't matter if you claim to have your faith, you don't, because your evidence is not true. And I'm like 55%, 45% in what translation I think it is. I think it might also mean this. To live your life in that way means you're not having the best life that God wants to offer you now. God's got plans for you. God has this way that he wants for you to be, this beauty that he sees inside of you, but you're not letting the Holy Spirit chip away. Therefore, in living in these ways, you're not receiving the full inheritance of the kingdom of God in your life now. You're limiting life, you're limiting love, you're limiting freedom in the depths of your soul. And whichever interpretation is right, they're both deeply serious things. It is for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Friends, God wants us to be free. He wants us to have life. He does not want us to be burdened by anything. It's quite serious, isn't it, church? So how do we live this Holy Spirit-led life? Because if it's important, how do we live it? Well, let me tell you something about the work of the Holy Spirit in us, as the Bible says. John 14 says, the Holy Spirit is our helper who is with us and in us always. He helps us keep God's commandments, and he is our teacher too. So he's going to be in us and with us and help us keep God's commandments, and he's going to teach us as we walk with him. Romans 8 says, he helps us in our weaknesses and in our prayers. 2 Corinthians 5 says, the Holy Spirit actually will minister to us and guarantee our salvation to us. John 16 says that he's the Spirit of truth. He will come and let you know what God's truth is. And 2 Corinthians 3:17, and these are just some of the passages about the Holy Spirit in us, says that the Holy Spirit is the Lord, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. The whole reason that Christ came is so that you can have freedom. And the answer, if you've chosen Jesus, the answer is now to choose intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's at the heart of who we are. God, the Holy Spirit in us, and God, the Holy Spirit with us. I'm going to come on to how we do that in a minute. But before we do that, I want to take a little break away from that a little bit and go into something which I think is really important for us. If God, like the God who created the universe, who's so powerful and everything else, is supposed to be in us. I'm not quite sure where God is in me. I think that I should be able to feel God in me. And I think that is some of the problem. Because some of us, too many of us, all of us maybe, think, but I don't actually feel God in me. Is that fair to say? You would think, wouldn't you, if God the Holy Spirit is in you, you'd be able to feel it. And then I think it's condemning if we don't. But you know, the Bible never tells you that you should be able to feel God's presence in you. It does tell you you have the Holy Spirit, that God is with you. But it does not tell you that you should be able to feel him there. And I wanted to take a break for that, because I think that's really important, because I think so many Christians think they're not there, because we hear about these Christians who are just, they're like drunk with the Holy Spirit all the time, and we're like, but that's not me. I've never had that experience. So does that mean I'm not actually saved and that I don't actually have the Holy Spirit with us? Well, the Bible never says that you need to be able to feel the Holy Spirit, but the Bible does say, if you know Jesus, that you do have the Holy Spirit with you. And I want to show that to you this morning. What's the time? It is 10 past 11 in the morning. God's Spirit can be translated as God's breath, because the Greek word pneuma, the Hebrew word ruach, both can be translated to spirit or breath or wind. It's 10 past 11 in the morning. Put your hand up if you have had a conscious thought so far this morning that you have breath in your lungs. Good. Now put your hand up if you're pretty confident that you've got breath in your lungs. Some of you haven't. Roy, could you go and dial 999 for us, please? Because I think we're going to need an ambulance in a little while. So we don't feel the breath in our lungs, but we don't doubt that the breath is there. I'm going to ask you to do one more experiment. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath in, and then I'm going to say something, so you're going to have to hold that breath for a minute, and you're going to have to think about it, and then you're going to have to act on it. So church, take a deep breath in for me. Hold it. How long shall I wait? And now I want you to think of the best way that you can actually evidence you've got breath in your lungs, and do that. It's going to be an action. How can you now show yourself that you do actually have breath in your lungs? What are you going to do? Yeah, you're getting it, aren't you? Oh, I do have breath in there. I can feel it coming out. I didn't feel it going in. I don't feel it inside, but I do feel it coming out. Friends, you evidence the Holy Spirit in your life, not by feeling the Holy Spirit in your life, but you evidence the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life through Jesus Christ by the fruit that is evidenced in the way that you live. And we're not a Pentecostal church, so I think that's really important for us to hear, because if not, we feel condemned. Thank you, Janet. I don't want us to feel condemned. If you know Jesus, you do have the Holy Spirit, and that will be evidenced in the way that you live your life. Let's come back to where I was going before I took that break. How do we pursue intimacy? How do we pursue intimacy in our life with the Holy Spirit? How do you get good fruit in nature? How do you get good fruit? If I went to an apple tree and I thought, oh, there's an apple starting to show, and I thought, I'm going to come out and sing to this apple. I'm going to maybe polish it every day. I'm going to try and look after this apple, make sure no pesky worms get near it, anything like that. Is that the best way to ensure that the apple is good fruit? No. The best way to ensure that the apple is a good piece of fruit is to look after the tree. When I've heard sermons on this, or people speak about Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we focus too much on the fruit. So I'm not even going into the fruit this morning. Because if you want to produce good fruit, how you should really do it is to focus on the environment of the tree. If you want good fruit in your life, don't concentrate on the fruit. Don't go, I'm going to go and meditate on kindness and try and practice be kind. The biblical answer is not that. The biblical answer is to spend more time with God, the Holy Spirit, because it's His fruit and not yours. I know zero about gardening, apart from how to grow weeds. I do that very, very well. So I asked artificial intelligence, AI, how do you get good fruit from a tree? And this is what it tells me. To get the best fruit from a tree, focus on providing it with proper care, including adequate light, water, and nutrients, and practice proper pruning. So I'm going with AI this morning. What does it mean to give proper care to the tree? To give light, water, and nutrients, which are all biblical words. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but those who delight whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." There are no cheat codes in Christianity. Some of you are like, I know what you mean. It's a computer game term. Others are like, what? There's no way to cheat in Christianity. If you want to be the best version of yourself you can be, you need to put in some work. And that means spending time with God the Holy Spirit every day. If you want to allow the God, the Holy Spirit, to make you fully free, you need to spend the time allowing the Holy Spirit make you fully free. There is no cheat code. Have you ever been so angry with somebody? You have, church. Have you ever been so angry with somebody? And you've got two options. You let it fester, or that is a bit of yeast right there, I can tell you, and that can take you to dangerous places. Or your other option, when you're angry, is to say, Lord, I don't think this is becoming of you right now. Can you take this anger from me? When I remember to do that option, it's incredible how quickly God can take anger away. There is then a problem. God then starts to minister to you and say, hey, you know that ministry of reconciliation that I've given to you as well? You know that person, you're pretty sure they should be apologizing to you and you don't think you've done anything wrong? Well, maybe you should go and apologize to them even though you don't think they deserve it. It's called grace, friends. Look it up. And that's the problem with offering it to the Holy Spirit. He's going to make us model Jesus. But when we offer things to God in prayer, when we offer those seeds that are coming, God will always turn it to good. So the first key, make sure your environment is right, and that means spending time with God. And my final comment, that AI quite pointedly writes out, you need to practice proper pruning, which is a very biblical metaphor. When Paul writes to his apostle, Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he ends the letter by saying this, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, for every good fruit. The first point is to spend time with God in prayer. The second time is to spend time with God in the Scriptures. There's no cheat code in Christianity, friends. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. All I would say is when you go to the Scriptures, don't do what too many people do. You take your experience or the way that you want the world to be, the way that you want your life to be, and you go and open the Scriptures and you try and make Scriptures fit that. That's not the purpose of the God-breathed Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is going to want to inspire you as you read Scripture. That's what it means to be God-breathed. And the Holy Spirit is going to use Scripture to do what? To teach you, to rebuke you, to correct you, and to train you in righteousness. It does not work if you go to Scriptures already deciding what you want the Scriptures to say to you. And that's hard. Methodism is a holiness movement. That is the true power of Methodism. When John Wesley founded us, it was a holy movement, and particularly we were called to what is called scriptural holiness. Looking in the Bible, seeing how we should try and live our lives, and then living it out. We are a holiness movement. There's no cheat codes. It's a serious, serious matter. But why? Why is it worth doing? Because Christ came to set you free. Christ knows the beauty that you can't even see in yourself yet. He knows what you can be. He knows the amount of life that you can have. He can know the amount of joy that you can have. He will know the amount of freedom that you can have. You can't even see it, friends, yet. But God sees it in you. And the way for you to receive that and to know it and live it and experience it, not in the future, but here right now today as you're living and breathing on earth, is for you to allow the Holy Spirit to come into all of your life. You are the block of jade. And God looks at you and he's like, I just need to take this bit. And you're like, no, I like that bit. I know, but you don't actually need it. Yeah, but I'm quite passionate about that. I know, but you don't need it, friend. But I really enjoy this. I know, but you don't need it. It's hindering you. It's not allowing you to fully inherit the kingdom of God today. The Holy Spirit wants to work in us. It's not an easy process. It costs, in some of the ways we understand human cost. But God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free indeed. Amen. We're going to sing together again a song. We don't actually know it, I don't think. It's in Singing the Faith. So what's going to happen is our worship group are going to sing it once through. And then once they've sung it once through, we'll join in. You can stand, you can sit. I don't mind which you do, really. But let us sing together. Come, O Lord, give us your Spirit. So we come to this sacred, precious meal that Jesus himself prepares for us. Jesus, author of new beginnings, who came among us to make us whole, we approach your table with both delight and trepidation, glad to be comforted and ready to be challenged. You call us to come just as we are, but invite us to step away changed. For you are the God who turns graves into gardens and breathes life into my lungs. We have our prayers of confession. And yet, Lord, we have all failed to open our lives fully to you, retaining ownership of things we don't wish to change. We have failed to love our neighbor as you call us to. Our love has been controlled when it should be extravagant. We have failed to fully accept your kingdom truths and instead clung on to the riches of the world. So, loving God, with repentant hearts, meaning to change direction, we ask you to breathe new life into us once more. Holy Spirit of God, fill the world with your peace. Fill your church with your purpose. And fill us today with your power. Amen. We're going to spend some time praying for the world now. And I just want to offer silence today before we bring them together in the Lord's Prayer. So church, whether it be something you've seen in the news, whether it be something in your neighborhood, with friends, with family, hey, if you even need to spend a bit more time with God yourself this morning, in silence and space now, let us pray for the world. As our hearts break for the world, we remember that we have a prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Friends, through our repentance, through our confession, we have peace with God. So the peace of the Lord be with you. Shall we just greet each other? If you're new, that means turn to people and just shake hands and say something nice this morning. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus shared bread and wine with those who understood him and with those who didn't, with those who would deny him and betray him, and with the deserving and the undeserving. He took bread, he blessed it and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins of the many." So today, church, we have remembered our call to holy living, but it is not a path we walk alone. With our church family to encourage us and our God within us, we have all that we need, for when we stumble, God picks us up. And when we doubt or drift, our family restores us. Our future is assured, for God directs our paths. So, Spirit of the living God, come upon these gifts of bread and wine, symbols of your presence that transform us into the people that you invite us to be. And as through us you transform the world into the place that you dream for it to be. Amen. Amen. I invite forward the communion stewards.
We'll proclaim. May the love we find at this table be reflected in our lives as we walk in the Spirit each and every day. Amen. Amen. When I came to write that sermon, I thought I'm going to deliver a really positive, uplifting sermon, and then I started to write it. But that's sometimes the way the Holy Spirit takes us. But I want to remind you that the book of Philippians says that when we fix our eyes upon Jesus, that we easily throw off everything that entangles us. The book of James says that when we resist the devil, he flees from us. And the whole of the gospel, friends, is that God loves you so much, he came to pay your penalty upon the cross. Why? So that you can be free. Amen. We're going to sing of that right now in our final song as we stand and praise our God and King through the words of Love Divine. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of men to earth.
Jesus,
prayer of benediction. Loving God, we give you thanks for your love, a love that Romans says will never be separated from. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from us, and that includes ourselves. There is nothing that we can do that would stop loving you, loving us. So, Lord, we give thanks for the good news in Jesus, that you came to set us free, that you know there is more for us, and you don't desire for us to have anything less than wholeness. So, Lord, breathe into us again as we look towards Pentecost, where we will breathe into the world. Amen. Amen.